I'm Chris Story, and my pronouns are...
Proud to be an American.
That's right, where at least you know you're free to speak your mind. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose.
Oh, see, can you see how the dawn's early light was so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets regular upon us
Chris Story here. My friend Heath Smith is running for borough assembly. Now look, yes, he's a friend, but that's not why I'm supporting Heath Smith. You and I are busy. You need someone on the assembly you can trust with your wallet and your way of life. That's Heath Smith, father, son, a husband, and defender of your Alaskan dream. Heath Smith's got my vote. How about you? Heath Smith, running for assembly so you don't have to.
Paid for by Heath Smith, 570 Lee Drive, Homer, Alaska, 99603.
Wow, what a great ad. What a great spot, right? Am I right? I sent that up to the station earlier, and Mike Becker said something, but it wasn't enough for me. I'm like, I need something more. That's genius. That's gold. Your wallet and your way of life, hello. Well, Heath Smith, in fact, not just a friend, not just running for borough assembly here out of the Homer District, is going to be a guest on the program in just a little bit, along with a guy called Mike Arnold, or I should say in addition to a guy called Mike Arnold. Mike is a farmer, an activist, and a Sterling, Alaska resident. Now, I say activist. He's an activist by chance, not choice. He is saying to the state of Alaska, Department of Transportation, stop brining the roads. Phil Celtic from Homer area. Everybody knows Phil. If you've lived in Homer for 4 minutes, you know Phil at the gear shed. Brought this to my attention and introduced me to Mike. Mike's going to be my guest, and we're going to be talking about brining the roads. I don't know. Do you have a clue? I have no idea. Well, Mike's invested time and attention, and he's been attempting to lobby DOT to stop brining the roads. He feels that it's dangerous. It's creating black ice. He'll explain how and why. Also, it's horrible for your vehicles and has potential environmental problems and challenges that maybe are unintended consequences brought on by your government.
I'm a United States postal worker.
Aren't those the guys that always go crazy and come back with a gun and shoot everybody?
Sometimes.
Why is that?
Because the mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more, and you gotta get it out. But the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in. And then the barcode reader breaks, and it publishes Clearinghouse Debt.
All right, all right.
I love Newman. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Mr. David Webb's engineering and producing the program all the way back up at the mothership, courtesy of Horizon Wireless at 907-226-3130. Do what we did here on the broadcast. There's a reason we work with Horizon Wireless at Story Productions HQ right here producing this program, as well as our mothership, our own mothership, and my home. I rely on, for the best connectivity, the best wireless connectivity, Horizon Wireless, 226-3130. Give them a call, see what they can do for you. I want to talk about some backyard basics. You know, my book is called The Backyard Millionaire, How to Create Wealth Where You Are with What You've Got. Also, same name, radio program, heard right here on Thursdays at 1 o'clock, found as a podcast wherever you get podcasts, or you go to my website, ilovehomeralaska.com. I bring all of that up as a shameless promotion of this idea about making a fortune in your own backyard, making a healthy life, making a wealthy life, making a life of purpose and on purpose right where you are with what you've got. It's possible for you. It's possible for anybody. It's available to you. So there's got to be some basics. So I call these backyard basics, how to make a life where you are with what you got. First of all, the first backyard basic is that, yes, you really can make $1 million in your own backyard. Wallace D. Wattles wrote the book called The Science of Getting Rich. He wrote it in about 1911, if memory serves. And he said that. He said, if anybody is succeeding in your community, in your area, in your town, in your region, if any one person's succeeding at something you'd like to do, then you can do it too. There is no monopoly on success. You can do it. So if there's something you want to do, if there's a fortune you want to be made or you want to make and be part of, you don't have to travel to the ends of the earth. You can do it where you are, right where you are. I sometimes use the example of a good friend of mine who's got a major business, but you'd never know it to run into him in the grocery store. You'd never know it to have him drive by you in traffic or something, wherever he is, wherever you are. You'd never know it. And yet he is contemplating the opening of an office in Dubai at this moment in time. From a little tiny town, he has found his own success. You can too. You can do whatever it is you want to do. Whatever that fortune means to you, you can do it. Maybe you hear fortune and you actually hear, I want to get fit. I'm tired of this unhealthy lifestyle. I want to be fit. You can do it. If you can find one person in your community that's doing it, you can too. There's a way for you right where you are with what you've got. The backyard basic number two is you can make a difference. Heath Smith's going to be my guest in a moment. He's been on the Homer City Council. He's been making a difference in volunteerism in his community his entire life. This is no exception. He's now running for assembly because he wants to make a difference where he is. You know, a lot of people feel you've got to go to D.C., you've got to go to Juneau, you've got to go somewhere else to make a difference. You can do it right where you are. It might be political. It might be volunteerism. It might be just building a business, doing something you love, writing a book, writing an article. My last week guest, Greg Sarber, writes a Substack, which is fantastic. You should get it. Subscribe to it. It's called sewardsfolly.substack.com. Go there. Get it. You can make a difference where you are. You don't have to go anywhere. You can make that difference right here. And sometimes, in fact, the difference is bigger to be had right here where you are. I have a radio consultant out of Chicago, and he always reminds me, and I don't know why he has to equate it to a woman's apparel or a woman's footwear, but he always says, Chris, remember the impact of a stiletto heel on linoleum is focus where you are with what you've got versus a platform heel that doesn't make any indent or impression at all. You make a difference right here. Third backyard basic is you can make a living where you are. I used to travel the state of Alaska. Many a green, envious person across from my booth would say, oh, I'd love to live in Homer. I just can't make a living there. Yes, you can. You can make a living in your own backyard. You get to define what that living is. You get to define it. It could be a fortune, or it could just be a good living and a good life. And that's the final backyard basic, is that you can make a life where you are. You can make that life right now where you are with what you've got. One of my favorite quotes in the world, in fact, I wrote a book around it, and I give him credit in the book, but the entire premise of the book, Born to Live, is based on this one quote. And that quote is, with every adversity comes with it the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. So whatever the adversity is you're facing, accept that there's a great challenge in front of you and a greater benefit than what you're being challenged by. Those are your backyard basics. I'm Chris Story, along with Mr. David Webb. When we return, Heath Smith running for Borough Assembly. You'll be my guest. Stick around. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. You're listening to what my mom calls the greatest show on earth, produced and engineered by Mr. David Webb. Time now to reintroduce you to a guy that you are or ought to be aware of. His name is Heath Smith. He's an Alaskan resident for a long, long time, and he is running for the Borough Assembly. So you don't have to. Heath Smith, welcome back to the show. Remind everybody, what district is it? I forget how we're categorized here in the borough. What district will you be representing at the Borough Assembly?
It's District 8, and that includes Homer, Catchmack City, and the south side of Diamond Ridge Road. So okay. If you're on the Homer side of Diamond Ridge, then that's included within the district.
Anybody doesn't know or remember, Heath Smith was on the Homer City Council, frequent guest here on Top of the World. And we obviously, Heath, have a lot in common relative to a couple of things. Our love of community, this community, Homer and Alaska in general, but also pretty much lifelong Alaskan. You were born, what, in Anchorage and then came to Homer when you were super little?
Yep, Anchorage born and moved down here in 1974 when I was just a little pup.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, great time to be here. We've seen so much change. It's funny to think that there were some people that were in the late 70s against the paving of Pioneer Avenue. Now you can't even fathom a world where it's not paved. We've seen stores come and go and the population increase, but it always seems to be one thing, or there seems to be one thing that continues to remain the same, and that is a love of community. As you have been campaigning to be our next borough assemblyman, what are you hearing from locals? What's on our hearts right now?
Well, I think that there's some optimism with the administration up there in the direction that they're moving. And I'm excited about being as a member of a team, really, to kind of keep that momentum. I grew up here. I've got six kids. My wife was born here. My son-in-law was born here. I now have three grandchildren. I'm invested not only in the present, but really the future of what's going on. And so I'm excited to be a part of a process that helps make sure that, you know, we're going to do sustainable things and things that really add to the benefit of what are not only our children, but our grandchildren are going to be able to enjoy.
Part of that is keeping things affordable on one hand, and by that I mean keeping the tax rate as low as possible, as low as humanly possible, but we also have some pretty big expenditures. So how do you, as a person, as a man in this community, and as you said, a father of six, and how do you relegate that in your mind? Like, okay, we need some tax. We don't want to overtax. We need some spending. We don't want to overspend. How do you approach any particular ordinance that might come your way relative to that balance of wants, needs, revenue, costs, expenses?
Well, I mean, first of all, there's a realization that we cannot be all things to all people. And everything has associated costs that come with it that we have to take into account when it comes across, you know, the desk, so to speak. And to me, it's really about sustainability. And this is one of the things that I really kind of harped on when I was on city council. If we're going to do these things, one, we have to have a long-term ability to pay for them. We can't be after the fact looking for the revenue. And, fortunately, we're in a spot right now where it looks like, the mayor is seriously considering a mill rate reduction, which is awesome. But that has to be responsibly done, too, because things ebb and flow. So, So that's kind of the thing. I want to make sure that we can responsibly do it, and it's something that we should be doing in the first place.
As far as service, providing a particular service, is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Because, we cannot be all things to all people. And we have a responsibility when it comes to education and healthcare. I mean, we're in the healthcare, industry, whether we like it or not. And so there's obligations that come with those things. But we have to recognize that there's only so much money that we have that we can burden the people with. And so to overextend ourselves in those services doesn't bode well for anybody, regardless of whatever flag you want to fly in relationship to how important it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things about living here is that, and I'm speaking now specifically to, say, the Homer, Kachemak City, Diamond Ridge, the whole area that you're going to be representing, is that it is a unique place, but not in other ways. Like, in other words, we have uniqueness and we are unique people. Everybody wants to be special and feel special, but we have also some other problems that are pretty universal or ubiquitous. And I think, let me just ask you this. If you've got a group of people that are going to come to you that are maybe of a different political persuasion, maybe, not as conservative as you, what's your style of communicating? Because I know, having represented Homer on the city council, you had to face this on a constant and continued basis, where you do talk with people that might politically otherwise disagree with you. So what's your approach?
Well, I think that we have to be open-minded in the way that we develop policy, right? Because regardless who does vote for me, there are those that don't, and they're a voice and they have a place in the community, and there needs to be some level of representation there. They need to feel like their voice continues to be important, it continues to be heard and valued. And I think that that's something that's powerful and resonates, that, regardless of any ideological or partisan affiliation, that we're all working together because we all want good outcomes. We kind of see different ways of getting there. But, there can always be some level of, you want to say compromise, but an incorporation of some of those ideas that they have to help them be represented. And so I think that, people feeling valued and heard is a long way to going to making them feel represented.
And you've brought things to my attention way before they ever hit the public radar. You've just got a sense of the political landscape and what's coming, and I appreciate that. Let me ask you this. When elected to Borough Assembly District 8, would you commit yourself to a communication style with the public such that you would be either available for open houses or coming here to this broadcast or other shows and just being available? Because I'm saying in the ad for you is that, look, Heath's running for assembly, so you don't have to. That's a big part of it. So much happens while we're sleeping and not paying attention that we need somebody that can come back and communicate things we need to know about. I think that's you, but I mean, is that something that, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but can we count on that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's important that people know what is happening on the government level. I know that by and large, people want to be able to vote in folks that they trust to make good decisions, and they'll be thoughtful in the way that they process things and ultimately put policy into play, so that they don't have to worry about it day in and day out. But there are definitely things that people should be aware of and need to be on top of, because they can't respond or provide public input if they don't know. And so I think that it's important to have a platform for those people to be engaged and kind of on top of, where we're at and what we're doing.
And I would extend this broadcast to you on a regular and ongoing basis, so you can report from what's happening at the halls of justice, as it were, off Binkley Street there in Soldotna. question that begs this question: what's your wife think of all this? I mean, you've got the children, you've got a career, you've got a family, you've got a wonderful home and a lot of yard to maintain. You've got a life. So, what's your wife saying when you said, you know what, I'm running for assembly? What'd she say?
Well, I feel blessed in the sense that my wife has been very supportive of my political endeavors, and I mean, she understands that I'm passionate about it, and it's something I care about, and so she's on board, and I'm grateful for that support. And my kids kind of roll their eyes. And, you know, they don't get it at this point. At some point, they're going to understand the value a little more deeply of public service and why it's important to be on in the know, so to speak, and be an educated and informed voter and ready to step up when needed. So, you know, I have the support of my family. I'm grateful for that. And it means everything because, honestly, if I didn't, then I probably wouldn't be doing it.
There are some upcoming, and I should have these memorized, and I don't. I apologize. Maybe you know. There are some upcoming debates and forums where people can see you squaring off against your opponent. Do you, when off the top of your head, do you know when those are and where?
Yeah, so Thursday, this Thursday at the Homer Public Library from 6 to 7 is a forum. And then next Wednesday at the college from 5:30 to 7 is another candidate forum. And then on the 28th at Alice's from 5:45 to 6:45 is another forum. And they're all hosted by different groups.
And if I'm not mistaken, early voting for Heath Smith, District 8 Assemblyman, that starts on the 18th of September, like in six days?
It's coming Monday.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's soon. I mean, it's at hand, and I would encourage people if things aren't looking good for election day to go ahead and take a minute when you're driving down Pioneer and swing in and vote early. You know, the reality is that if we don't show up, we don't we sometimes are going to lose our voice. And so I would encourage people to be active and involved. I mean, this election is relatively low key, and that doesn't bode for turnout very well because there's only the borough mayor's running unopposed, and then you've got just a couple other things on the ballot. So, but this is the only election this year, so I encourage people to get out and be heard.
I've got to tell you, there's even during the, you know, the lockdowns, the restrictions, and the kind of the way we sort of awkwardly voted over the last couple of years, it's one of those things that as we come together as Americans, if nothing else, may not agree on anything, we must agree that showing up and voting is important. It's something that is invaluable to me, and I just feel this almost electric thrill. I can't wait to get, even if I have to wait in line, I'm like, I don't care. I love it, and going in person. But as Heath just said, if October 3rd, when the actual election Tuesday is, if that's not looking good for you for some reason, do it now. Get in, vote early, and make your voice heard. Heath Smith for Borough Assembly. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Chris. You're the best.
We carry your burden. Something's not right, I will let you know. Like the paint that's drying on a heart that's broke. Let me carry your burden. Get you back on a high when you're feeling low. When the weight's too heavy but you won't let go. Come to me, my brother, and I will stay.
You are listening to On Top of the World, Radio On Purpose. Chris Story here, coming up in just a moment. Stop the brine. Stop brining the road, says Mike Arnold. He's my guest, Sterling, Alaska resident, and he's, well, making a difference where he is with what he's got. He'll be my guest in just a moment. Stick around, a lot more to come here on Top of the World. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio On Purpose. In just a moment, Mike Arnold is my guest, and he's begging of the state to stop brining the roads. The Dalgarn roads need to be stopped. Okay, we're going to find out why and what you can do about it. I want to point out in advance, Mike is following a backyard basic number 2, which is you can make a difference. You can make a difference right where you are with what you've got. Mike Arnold, farmer, activist, my word, not his, and Sterling, Alaska resident. Welcome to the Top of the World, Mike.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this was brought to my attention by Phil. As I said before, if you've lived in Homer for 3 minutes, you've met Phil out of the gear shed. integral member of our society here on the southern tip of the peninsula. And he introduced me to you, Mike, and said, you got to talk to Mike about the brining of the roads. Before we get to that issue, let me ask you this. Where are you from originally, Mike?
A town in Arizona called Tucson. Some call it Tucson, but I call it Tucson.
No kidding. What brought you to Alaska?
The heat of it.
Okay.
I came up here in 76. I've been here ever since, and I only came for the summer, actually.
You came for the summer, and it's turned into 40-some-odd years.
Yes.
Wow. Good for you. Yeah. My same thing happened to my dad. He got here from Florida in 67 and never went home. I mean, went home to visit, but never moved back home. That was it. Alaska grabbed him.
Yeah, it does. It does that to everybody, it seems like.
And so you're in Sterling, Alaska. I've driven through Sterling a few times. I love driving.
I think everybody has from Homer.
I love driving through Sterling, and I try to keep it at 45. I'll be honest with you. Don't always hit 45, but I try to. But you mentioned to me before you're a farmer. So what do you farm?
I'm looking right now at tomatoes. I do tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers. I have a heated greenhouse that's probably about 6,000 square foot. And then I have a high tunnel, and then I have outside field beds and so forth. It's mostly just vegetables, no animals.
And this is for your own consumption, or do you sell it?
I go to the farmer's market here in Soldat, and I've been doing that for years.
Wow, that's really cool. I love it. Well, Mike Arnold, you've got a bone to pick with brine. You say to the state of Alaska, and you've been talking with them for years, it sounds like, several years at least, to stop putting brine, salt brine, on the highways because you feel several things about it. But first of all, describe the process. When we say brine, what does that mean?
Brine is actually a mixture of water and a certain substance. It can be numerous substances, but typically it's either sodium chloride, calcium chloride, magnesium chloride, sometimes a mixture of all of them. But what we're dealing with here is a sodium chloride. If you've seen a truck going down the road with these big super sacks on it, there's a really good chance that's hauling the calcium chloride, which is it's in little beads. It's a little, like little BBs, and they have super sacks full of that, and they take it to wherever the mixing station is, and that's what we're dealing with. So the brine is actually, it's a liquid form of some sort of a salt, and it's very corrosive. It's effective in some ways, but it's in most ways it's not.
All right, but Mike Arnold, let's just play devil's advocate here. The Department of Transportation knows better. Surely they know better than we do, right?
Well, I'm not painting anybody as the bad guys here. I'm just saying that there's a policy that was picked up sometime before 2012, because that's when they first started putting this on the roads, and I believe they found out about this brine, this calcium chloride, or whichever they chose to pick at the time. But it was a policy probably from the lower 48, because there's the northern states down there. They use the brine extensively down there, and they do pretty well with it. They still have corrosion on their vehicles, which is what we're trying to get rid of. But it down there, their ground doesn't freeze 10 feet deep like ours does.
Mm-hmm.
And especially on the roadways. So what happens is they've picked up this policy that really doesn't, or this solution, this product, they picked up this product, and it really doesn't work in Alaska.
But beyond not working, you actually believe that it makes black ice. It makes us less safe in many instances. Can you describe how that might work?
Yes. And that's why I say this policy is not good for Alaska. It's because what happens is this brine, once they make it, they mix it at a mixture of 23.3% of the calcium chloride, and the rest of it is water. And what they do is they spread it on the roads, and it melts the ice. And let me back up. I said 23.3%. Chris, do you know what the salt content in the ocean is right there in Kachemak Bay?
No. Give me a minute and I'll Google it, but tell me.
3%.
Okay.
So we're at, if you drive your car on the beach or your truck on the beach, you're gonna see it rusting out quite fast. And we're talking something that's being put on our roads at 23%. So what happens is this stuff comes out of the truck. It's made up so that it will stay in the solution form even in colder temperatures down to -6. At -6, it will freeze. So they put it on the road when it's 20 above. And so then what happens is it melts the ice and the snow. It does a very good job of that. It's effective in melting ice and snow. But then when you melt ice and snow, you bring water into the equation. And so it's just like if you put too much water in your antifreeze in your car, you're going to break your block, or you're going to break all kinds of things that are going to, it's going to be costly to your car. It's going to destroy your car probably. So what happens with this is you put water into it. Where is the freeze point now? It was -6. Now, where is it? Nobody knows because there is no control. Mm-hmm. And so say that just for giggles, we're going to say it comes up to 20 or excuse me, from it puts it on at 20 degrees. Water is brought into the equation, bringing that freeze point now to 15. The temperature at night drops down to 10. Mm. You now have black ice. You have a nice smooth road because it melted the ice and the snow, but now it has this sheen. And I'll tell everybody a little trick. When you're driving down the road and you look at the car coming towards you, look at the headlights. Are they shining off of the road? Can you see a glare on the road? If you can, you're on black ice.
Hmm. And that's dangerous. That's not fun. And I have to think now, Mike, it's my understanding you've been talking with DOT for a few years now. And I really, before we let you go, we have to put out when the public meeting is because it's that important. But you've been bringing up this concern about black ice in addition to the destruction and the degradation of our vehicles. We just got a text message. Somebody said, hey, thank you for bringing up this road spray. Our mechanic said our undercarriage of my 2017 Tahoe is rusting away because of it. It's got to be something. So we're paying the price a couple ways, it would seem. Well, three ways. One is the cost of this distribution system. In addition to that, you have the cost to the vehicle damage, which is real and calculable. And then you've got the potential risk of this black ice. What communications have you had with DOT? How are they responding to you?
Well, they were on the news yesterday up here on a radio station, and they said that they were going to come down to the borough assembly meeting in Homer, which is key for your people there that are listening. So, and I'm going to come down there. I'm going to travel down because it's that important to me. And what they're saying is they're going to have a meeting down there. They want to hear and see the public and find out what the temperature, I guess, is of us down here. And these are the main people coming from Juneau, and they want to know what they can do. And right now, what they've said yesterday was that they want a year study time to find out what they can do. If they're gonna take a year, I want them to take this stuff off the road while they're doing it. We lived for many years, Chris, and you probably remember, with salt and sand.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go back to that, and that will be fine. Mm-hmm. I know it's not the best roads ever, but at least you know what you're driving on, and you're not destroying your cars at Mach speed. So and plus, you know, it's not just a matter that these cars are being destroyed. The looks, we're talking about the brake systems. We're talking about airbag deployment not happening possibly at the right time. We're talking about where the chassis of the vehicle hooks onto the frame is being compromised. We're talking about wiring systems that are being corroded. I know of a trucking system, very well-known trucking to everybody, and I'm not going to mention the name, but they told me specifically they put a Kenworth truck on the road That was in October, this last October. By 4 months later, they had to strip all the wiring out, redo it. That was a brand new Kenworth truck.
Wow. Wow. Talking here with Mike Arnold, the upcoming borough assembly meeting you mentioned is when? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yes, it's on the 19th. That's a week from today, 6 o'clock at the city hall. And the borough is coming down. They do that once a year to come down to Homer, and they go to Seward also. But what my plea is to everybody that's listening, and if you know somebody that's not listening, talk to them. Get there to that meeting, because I'm telling you, this is our chance to shine right now. They know that the people are not happy. If you've signed the petition and you know of anybody that hasn't signed the petition, get them down to catch them at Gearshed. Sign that petition right now. We have 3,722 signatures since May 16th.
Wow.
Since May 16th. And I want 4,000 when I get there to the meeting.
Well, let's,
that's not that long.
Let's do what we can. I love that you're doing this, Mike. And I use the term activist, and I don't mean offense by it. If you find that offensive, I don't mean it to be. What I mean is you're taking action. You saw a problem. You said, you know what? I'm a farmer. I've got a life. I'm busy. I don't need this in my life. But I tell you what, there's something I can do. And each of us can take a page from your book and show up or send a proxy or a written statement. And I want to share just a quick little anecdotal story. And this is, again, this is not to point the fingers at DOT, but a state road was recently rebuilt that affronts a property I own. And the people on the ground, the boots on the ground, the people, the supervisors, the workers, the contractor, all said to a person, this is a stupid design. The guy or gal, whomever designed this piece of the road, never was in Homer, never came here. They designed it in an office in Anchorage, never even put boots on the ground themselves. And this is a stupid design, but it's what we got to build. And they created a dangerous situation. And the contractor and the supervisors on the ground helped me avoid the danger by putting up a little barrier. Because, I mean, this is a massive ditch that they've created. Like, if you go into this ditch, I hope your airbag goes off. That's all I can say. I mean, it's horrible, horrible. And so we need people like you, Mike Arnold. We need people like you that are listening right now to say, you know what? I'm going to say something and do something while we still can, and get the ear of the people that make the decisions. They're coming from Juneau. Let's show up on the 19th at the City Hall at the Borough Assembly meeting. Mike Arnold, again, the petition is at the Gear Shed here in Homer. Is it anywhere else on the peninsula to be signed?
Oh, there's many places up here. I have it in about 50 different stores in the Kenai Soldotna area. And there's just like Trustworthy Hardware. If anybody's listening, that's one of the key places that we have. So, yeah.
All right.
Can I say one more thing, Chris?
Please go ahead.
Okay. So I know that the people in Homer are very conscious of the environment, and we should be. I'm not saying we shouldn't be, but this stuff is not just about the vehicles either. There is an environmental aspect of this, and we have one young lady that's going to be down there at the meeting. She has found a document, a 27-page document that is a study. It is a true study that was done by a doctor in Washington about the environmental effects of brine. And it's very, very important to understand that this stuff is getting into our rivers. It's getting into our streams. I witnessed it myself dumping into the storm drains at the Moose River into the Kenai River. I do hydroponic farming. I have ways of measuring salts in water. I have my meters, when I saw one of these trucks go by, I grabbed all the napkins in the car and I went to the rumble bumps. I started gathering all the moisture I could and poured it and put it into a cup that I had in the car, took it home, and I measured it with my meter, and it went off the chart. I would have killed my plants with it. And that's what's going into our rivers, and that will cause rivers and streams to grow algae and kill the fish.
Mike Arnold, thank you so much for sharing your time, attention, wisdom, and caring enough to just stop and say something here. And I think you're going to make a big difference. So thank you very much, and appreciate
you
being on the program.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, you're welcome. That's Mike Arnold, And each of us can play a role in this. Tuesday, the 19th, show up wherever you're listening. Come down from Soldotna, Kenai, Sterling, wherever you are, and certainly here in the Homer Acre Point area. Let's show up in force, in mass, and let your voice be heard. Stop the brine. You're listening to On Top of the World. When we come back to Have and to Hold, this is One Bold Woman plus a minute to win it here on Top of the World. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Mike Arnold there was suggesting you let a friend know about this whole brine situation. You can do that by sharing this conversation I just had with him. Later today, it'll be posted at ilovehomeralaska.com/podcast. And be sure to share that with a friend. It's important. I've let a couple of citizen journalists I know about this situation, as well as we'll hear on these very airwaves be running a PSA that Mr. Webb will be voicing here later today. So if we all do our part, we can make a difference when the folks come up from Juneau to see us country bumpkins up here. Show me the rust under your car. No, wait a minute. I can't distinguish between the rust and the rest of the car. Shut up. To Have and to Hold. Boy, this woman was bold. The year was 1897. The problem? Burning your gold-darn hands with the piping hot corn on the cob. Well, she saw a problem and she found a solution. That's right. Her name was Mary Donnelly. Mary Donnelly invented the corn fork, and patented it in 1897. Yes, other iterations have followed, but Mary Donnelly made history and eating corn on the cob a lot more fun and safer.
I met a man who had a dream he'd had since he was 20. I met that man when he was 81. He said to many folks, just stand and wait until the morning. Don't they know tomorrow never comes? And he would feel in you tomorrow coming up. And when he'd smile, his eyes would twinkle up in fun. Everybody talks about a new world in the morning. New world in the morning never comes.
All right, you know, here on Top of the World, it's a new morning every single day. I've been reading, my morning hour of power has included reading a couple of excerpts each day from a book called The Creative Act, A Way of Being by legendary music producer extraordinaire Rick Rubin. And I want to share something real quick, because this may ring true with you. For the longest time, I would say resignate, and it just drove Tiffany nuts. I still say it. To a point where I actually don't remember the difference. Like, is it resignate or resonate? It's resonate. That's right. But I'll still say resonate. So this may resonate with you, with apologies to Tiffany. So he's talking about creativity as a way of life. It's a way of being, which is active. It isn't just that, oh, somebody is or was creative. It's a way of life such that it almost becomes like a practice, like a medical practice, a law practice, a real estate practice. Art is a practice. It's something that's ongoing. And he's talking here in this particular chapter, which is entitled Self-Doubt. He says the sensitivity that allows them, which he means creative people, to make art is the same vulnerability that makes them more tender to being judged. Still, many continue to share their work and risk criticism in spite of this. There is huge criticism. This is Chris talking now. There is huge criticism out there. Constantly. It's like putting my face in a fan every day. Every day that I write, every day that I publish a book or I sell a book online, and I'm subject to what somebody might think about it. Artwork, I did a show last year which was roundly rejected by not just the public, but the gallerist. She ended up taking all the work out after 3 days because people criticized her for having outspoken artwork in her gallery and said, oh, this isn't for me. I don't want any part of this. And it wasn't vulgar. I mean, it was if you hate Donald Trump and Ronald Reagan and greatness and freedom and you like fake news, then you would have been completely offended by this work. But it was beautiful. It was wonderful. I called it the Wall of Words, and each piece just had a word. Anyway, long story short, I know what it is to be criticized. I know what it is to be judged. I know what it is to put work into the world and have it rejected. But yet creatives, creative people, it's what you do. He says, it's as if you have no other choice. Being an artist is who you are. And you are made whole through self-expression. Listen to that. You are made whole through self-expression. This I found incredibly interesting, this next paragraph. One of the reasons so many great artists die of overdoses early in their lives is because they're using drugs to numb a very painful existence. The reason it's painful is the reason they become artists in the first place. They're incredibly sensitive. And you could hear that as sensitive as like weak and, you know, but I don't. I hear it as sensitive as in absorbing the pain of the world, absorbing so much at once you can't process it like maybe other people can. And I relate with that. There's so much coming at you at any given time. You have to find a way to process this. My way is to write. I write fiction in such a way that I get to kind of escape from reality and go into this fictional world, even though it's Homer, Alaska. I'm writing the Mann series, the Jacob Mann series set in Homer, Alaska, but it's still it's an altered state. It's another reality. It isn't real at all. It's a non-reality, but it's a great place to go escape. I get to come here and tell you the truth. I get to be here with you and just flat out tell you what I'm thinking about, what I'm going through, and have this conversation that you and I have every Tuesday and Thursday. And it's exhilarating to be putting the work out there and yet feeling the sensitivity. Another way that I control that sensitivity, the world coming at me, is I shield myself from all the news and I go select what and where I want to read. Not that I'm just looking for the happy news. Who invented the corn cob fork? It's not just that. Yes, I have things like that coming at me because I'm interested in where things came from and who started what. And I love business. I love unique stories that I find in the world and I love bringing them to you. But I control so I don't have so much coming at me that I would become paralyzed if I did. So I have to control and filter out all of it and get down to some of it. And then the other thing is that I control my morning. For me, I set my day up with a private time for, I copied what Tony Robbins called 30 years ago, the hour of power. That's what I just have adopted that. It's like, oh, this is my hour of power. I set up a morning that is fueled with caffeine, gratitude, reading, writing, and selectively picking things out of the world that I'm interested in. Let me share another thing I read this morning. This by Price Pritchett, A Minute to Win It. He's a businessman and an author out of Texas, Austin, Texas, where my sister lives. And he has this one-minute rule. Somebody asked him at a live event, well, Price, what do I do to get past procrastination? And I must tell you, his advice is priceless. Think about it. He said to dedicate at least 1 minute to action, and then momentum will take you the rest of the way. So have a minute ready to go. If you've got 1 minute in you, you can go further. He gave the example of going to the gym. He said, if I pick up the keys, car keys, and I grab the gym bag and put on my shoes, in that minute, I'm ready. And then the momentum will take me to a place that I was just moments ago saying, I don't know if I really want to go today. You could use this for almost anything. Don't look at the entire task. Just get started with that 1 minute. Even if the old adage about eating an elephant one bite at a time is, oh, it's still overwhelming. It's a huge elephant. Just think about 1 minute. And in that minute, well, you, in fact, could win it. It, whatever, health, wealth, prosperity, better relationships, whatever it is you're looking for. And hey, I want to say thank you. Thank you for coming in and spending an hour with me. Remember, vote for Heath Smith Assembly starting September 18th, early voting. October 3rd is the election day, Tuesday. And meanwhile, next Tuesday, here in Homer, wherever you are, get here for the Borough Assembly meeting. Let your voice be heard about the environmental disaster, the vehicular disaster, and the safety disaster that is brining the roads. And if you have a different opinion, by the way, you're welcome to text message me at 907-299-7653, and I'll get your voice on the air if you have some other expertise or different opinion, because we're here, we are at least an open mind. Thank you for being here. Chris Story with David Webb reminding you to look forward, learn from your past, but never forget that the good life is lived right here in the present.